Okay, you guys can start whenever you want.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with the Shack part of the meeting. It is 1:30. We're in the high school library and we're starting with the Shack. So for those of you who have the agenda in front of you, this is the goals that we've been working throughout the year with. This is this committee and then also the subcommittee that comes up with these goals. The subcommittee tends to meet via Zoom because they're not able to get here on during these times. So we tend to meet via Zoom at 7:30 in the evenings to get together and handle all these things. So what we're really needing to do is just pinpoint some dates in order to get the rest of this stuff done. The first part that we did was to have that drinking and driving presentation that was presented on 4/13/26 at 2. It was a very moving presentation. It started off a little slow, I will admit. I was kind of going like, oh, where are we going with this? What's happening here? Mr. Eddie was giving a speech, kind of telling about his family. But as I got, I was like, he's letting you know who his family is so you can kind of get to know them, see what their lives were like before what happened to their family. And then he goes into what happened to his family, which was a car accident, drunk driver, basically vehicle landed on top of their family vehicle, killing his son and his neighbor. So it was very emotional. A lot of the students were emotional with it. But what I was really grateful for was our kids were, at first they were a little lost with it, but then when everything started happening, realizing what was happening, they were very in tuned. They were very much listening. They were emotional. Afterwards, they came and gave him hugs. They came and shook his hand. Some of our kids even did a prayer group, little prayer circle with him. So it was very moving. I didn't know this. I knew that he was a speaker that goes all around Texas. I didn't know that he had such close ties with Sabinal that him and his family would go to Garner State Park a lot. So he had a lot of pictures of Garner State Park in the background of his family. And then on their way home, that they would always stop at our park. So he said it was, you know, he's been wanting to come to Sabinal. So when he heard about Sabinal, he said that yes, he definitely would do it. But he didn't realize how much it would affect him. And so he didn't even, he said, I didn't pull these out because I didn't think I'd be able to make it through. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional. Because he had his son's flip-flops and his son's Game Boy. That's the only thing that they recovered from the accident. And so, because I couldn't do that. Just because I couldn't even do it right now. But it was very moving, very emotional. And I didn't even think he even really even told the kids or said the words, don't drink and drive. He just said, know that actions, what you do affect somebody or can affect you. And I think that was moving, that you didn't even have to say those words, but it was moving to that effect that everybody knew that those were her actions caused this. So very moving. We did have a discussion afterwards because he doesn't have any feedback, like what kind of feedback, you know, he didn't have anything like that. So we did discuss possibly getting a QR code for him. Ms. Molly Flores from the Ag Extension, the family agent, said that they would look into possibly doing, getting a QR code and having some questions that the kids, so maybe getting some feedback from the students. So we'll see if that happens and we can get it out to the students through via email or something for them to kind of fill back in. In the past, we've had Sean Speaks before, who Sean was hurt in the drinking and driving accident. And he had a QR code and the kids answered those questions, and I hadn't seen the answers, but Molly had said they were really, your Sabinal kids had asked some very good questions, had some very profound thoughts on everything. So that's why she brought up the QR code. But I think that was great presentation. Second thing is big decisions. We'll be starting that soon. We'll be starting May 4th through the 15th. Parent letters were sent for 9/2026. Those letters have to go out 14 days in advance per law. So those have already been sent out. I've already gotten some coming back in. The ones we have to have a note back, whether they're a yes or a no. I need something, so I'll be hounding those parents in a couple of days of who I haven't received yet. I tend to call them, email them, and tell them I need something back. So that will be starting soon as well. And that's for the 8th and 10th grade students. The next thing is the Stop the Bleed program. We offer that on our school website because we have to offer it. So it's on our school website that anybody can take it. But then doing the hands-on portion, it's kind of like, if you want to take it, come and see me. Last year, we had a safety fair. I have the flyer from it from last year. It was May 7th, where we kind of incorporated a bunch of different aspects of everything that we kind of needed to accomplish. So I'm planning on doing that again this year, so that way we can do the same thing of doing Stop the Bleed, doing CPR, and doing the fentanyl presentation. The thing is trying to get on the calendar when we can do that. When we were meeting with the subcommittee, they wanted third and up to be able to do Stop the Bleed, do CPR. For fentanyl, it's for 6th through 12th. So if I do the safety fair, I got to be able to do maybe get everybody in and do everything, and then the fentanyl presentation at the end, so that way it's just get the third, fourth, and fifth out and leave 6th through 12th in there in order to get it done. Last year, how we did it was basically we had the fentanyl presentation first, and then we kind of went through different stations, kind of going through and doing everything. I had Uvalde Memorial doing the tourniquet demonstrations, CPR San Antonio doing CPR. We had Uvalde MES doing first aid techniques, Uvalde Public Health Nurses doing water safety, and then we had the DEA agent, Mr. Talamantes, doing a fentanyl presentation. This year, I'm probably going to have Rolla Kelly doing the fentanyl presentation, Uvalde EMS doing CPR, Mr. Eddie, who was here with doing the speak, he has a like fatal vision where you put the goggles on and you kind of try to drive, but I think it's a computerized system that they have now. So we're trying to see if I can get him in as well on that date to do that. He said, when he was talking about it, he said when they were doing it in San Antonio, you kind of get on and then they have San Antonio PD there as well. Like, okay, you're getting arrested. You're getting into a police car. It's kind of going through those motions as well. So we're trying to see if we can get that all scheduled. It's just finding a date. When I was talking to everybody, it looked like we were looking at May 1st or May 4th. And when I was looking at the calendar, I didn't see anything really. I know regional track was going out.
May 1st.
May 1st. Mm-hmm. But that's only going to be a handful of kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we know now that's at least 3-7 boys.
Mm-hmm.
Regional track.
Regional track. That'll be out. But other, there's like no testing. There's no anything else like that going on. Well, we did it last year in the event center.
Oh.
So that's where we had it just because of location. Last year, we also had the rollover convincer. So they had to be parked outside. That kind of showed, you put the dummy in and seatbelt on, and then it spits people out what it looks like if you're not wearing your seatbelt. And then just because if we're going to have 3rd through 12th in there, I think we need the space of being in the event center. So either May 1st or May 4th. I know May 4th, I think, is sports banquet in the evening. I've got big decisions starting that day. So we may just have, on timing, we may have to move it on times. I don't know. So if it's Friday the 1st, that's early release. So if we started like at 10 before lunch and did 10 to 12, or what is y'all's lunch times? But see, third grade, then I have to worry about 3rd, 4th, and 5th because of lunchtime.
I know on the 4th, Ms. Clark has the seniors all scheduled for a scholarship that they have to write in person.
Mm-hmm. Writing essay.
So May 1st is the better date. Okay.
So then band just has a trip to Dallas then as well.
May 1st?
Mm-hmm.
How many are going to Dallas?
I bet if I look in my emails, I can tell you how many. It's probably about 20 or 30.
But May 4th and May 1st, which day do you prefer?
Are those the only two options?
Basically, yes.
Okay, that's okay.
May 1st or May 4th?
Let me... Okay, I say May 4th, starting at 10:30, because that's after the essay writing with Ms. Clark.
Is it after? I
Mm-hmm.
wasn't
And
sure.
then that way we have time after dinner, theater, and everything to kind of.
Well, it would be in the event center, so it's not going to affect the old gym.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Does that affect the lunches though?
Well, we'll figure
Well,
out.
third grade starts on July 11th.
11:10.
But I could do lunches.
Or could we do sack lunches for them? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what would be the easiest thing to do in order for them.
Well, could they start earlier for the next grade kids, the second grade kids? Start it earlier in the morning? Start the rotations earlier? Maybe have third and fifth grade do their two big day balloons too, and then be
And then
done by the
time
time
that the
early
high school comes through.
sixth grade can stay.
Okay. And you said what time? 10:30 to start?
Yes.
So that would be getting all that. And then I had mentioned about doing a Capital Farm Credit program with the juniors or seniors. I know I had received an email from Cody Park and Jessica about saying maybe doing it in.
We have it on the calendar already.
Okay.
Well, that was next week, right? No, hold on. Seniors, yes. April 23rd.
Okay,
9 o'clock to 11. It's your money financial program, right?
Yeah, but I need to make it with Molly and make sure that they're available
Okay.
that day. Okay. After April 23rd. And that's basically Capital Farm Credit bills going out. You know, suddenly your power, you have something, your car breaks down. So they throw different scenarios. They do have to use, good IT question, they can use their camera on their laptops to scan QR
Scan a
codes.
QR code.
Yes.
Okay. Because they said in order to be able just to do that part, they need to be able to scan QR codes to answer different questions to get them through the scenario program. So, okay. And then fentanyl is kind of already on there. We've already did the suicide awareness walk and parent meeting on 10/22, but just doing that fentanyl education that's required by law through for the 6th through 12th grade. So planning phase is still, again, like I said, with Rolla or Ruben Olasco, but we're going to go for the May 4th date. And that's where we're at with this. And then I'll get all this together on one day. We'll do another flyer so everybody knows what's happening, and I send it out to everybody. Any questions, concerns? I know it's a lot of just information that I'm giving you. And then this is our third meeting. So for SHAC, we need another meeting. We will have to have another meeting in May. And that's really just answering the survey questions that we have to report to Region 20 or back to the state. So, and it's just asking about how our district has done. Any questions? Okay, so then that concludes the SHAC meeting, 1:42 p.m.
That's it.